Welcome, podcast family, once again to an episode of Bite Size History. I am your host, Fish, and today I am going on a completely different direction than what I normally do. I'm going to share some stories from my life and then dig into some current events. If you like what you hear, please let me know on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at History Bite Size. And make sure you share this episode with your friends and family. With that, let's get started. There are times when history feels old and dusty. Then there are moments when you feel it's happening around you and connecting with the past. In these moments, the passive objective studying is often replaced with painful reality. This summer, I read a number of books that I did not intentionally read back to back. It just happened to be how the holds from the library came in. As I went from one book to the next, I knew that I would eventually do a podcast episode about one or all of them. Recent events and some local connections have pushed me to do a series of episodes over the next year. This is the first in an indeterminate number of episodes about refugees. I will walk you through stories of past and present refugee crises. I will share interviews of those who have been displaced as well as those who work with them to provide aid. Hopefully, we can find some ways to be active participants in history rather than passively observing from the sidelines. I'm not coming into this with any great answers, but merely as a person who believes that everyone, absolutely everyone, is valuable. Now, if you just love old stories of history, I'll still be doing that. I don't have a set schedule in mind right now, but I will probably trade off episodes about refugees and other moments or people from history. Today's episode is more of an introduction or a chance to share my initial thoughts. So here we go. When I was in middle and high school in Northern Iowa, more and more students started showing up with names that seemed incomprehensible. I listened to teachers and kids alike fumble over names and end up calling them shortened versions of their name. I don't know if it was pride or compassion, but I made sure to learn their first and last names and say them correctly. Things like Sabilakovich and Stojanovic. These new peers were refugees from Bosnia. They had experienced more than I could possibly understand. One of the guys on my cross-country team, he had a strange old scar on his shoulder. After we became good friends, I asked him what had happened. He told me that while his family was fleeing their town in the midst of a battle, he was shot. His mother died that same day. This influx of population was not well received by everyone. There were complaints of jobs being taken and Muslims coming over with their strange customs. This was right around 9/11 terrorist attacks, so being Muslim was associated with the Taliban. It was one ignorant exclamation after another. You've heard it before. You're in America. Speak American. Very few in the community seemed to be understanding. I remember one year for the town's 4th of July fireworks display. They ended it with blowing something up. I'm not sure what it was, but it actually created a mushroom cloud that could be seen for miles around. A few days later, I was talking to my friend Erman. He said that the sound of the fireworks were already difficult for his family, but when the windows rattled from the explosion, they went into panic mode. They couldn't help but picture all of the horrific things that they thought they had escaped. Some community members later pointed out that such displays might be bad for those that experienced war, such as veterans. Nevertheless, big explosions continued to be a part of our town's ritual. Even at halftime of football games, blowing holes in the football field. What was wrong with them, I don't know. Now let's take a quick break, and then when we get back, I'll talk about Afghanistan. Afghanistan has been a troubled nation for decades. It certainly hasn't helped that one nation after another has tried to bend it to its will. When the United States sent troops over there almost 20 years ago, it was in retaliation for the 9/11 terrorist attack. The very people they were hunting, the Al-Qaeda, had strong connections to the Mujahideen that the American CIA gave money to in the 1980s. In fact, Osama bin Laden fought with the Mujahideen. It was all part of this proxy war between the United States and the Soviet Union during the Cold War. This means wars that were fought using other countries instead of directly being in conflict with each other. For the last 20 years, the United States military has maintained a presence to keep the peace and help establish a democracy. For years, people have called for the troops to come home. Many felt that after the death of Osama bin Laden in 2011, the mission had been accomplished. At some point, the United States was going to have to leave. President Trump started that process, and President Biden continued it. I don't know whether continued military involvement in Afghanistan is right or wrong, but I do know there is a crisis. The Taliban are retaking the country, and anyone who disagrees with them or worked with the Americans will suffer their wrath. They know it and are rightfully scared. If you've not seen the footage of the Kabul airport, it's heartbreaking. The U.S. troops, they were put in the impossible situation of trying to get people out of the country while maintaining some sense of peace. More than 123,000 people were evacuated from the country in the course of 2 weeks. Given the number of possible places they could go, that doesn't seem like too many. Except Afghanistan is not the first country to have refugees that need a place to go. It's certainly in the news spotlight, but according to the United Nations, there are more than 60 million people around the world who have been displaced from their homes. Most of them end up in refugee camps waiting to be allowed into another country. The average displaced person spends 12 years in one of these camps. Imagine that, 12 years living in a tent or a supposed temporary shack, living off of the kindness of a host country or non-government organization. Some of these camps have started to put in more permanent housing and develop better sanitation and community gardens, but not all of them, and they're limited on their resources. Let's remember, 12 years is the average. There are people that may be there for much longer or shorter. Every country that accepts immigrants has a quota that they allow each year. This makes some sense because a country that experienced a huge influx of new people may find itself struggling under the strain. And I mean, as much as I would love to invite a ton of people into my house and take care of them, that's not financially feasible before I would end up losing my home. No one nation or person can shoulder the whole weight. But 60 million people? There has to be more that can be done. I am not an international affairs expert. I'm no nonprofit guru. I'm just another person that hurts and feels helpless to extend a hand. But there are people out there working to do what they can. Organizations like UNICEF, Doctors Without Borders, Mercy Corps, International Rescue Committee, Border Angels, and so many more. Many that listen to this podcast, they can't just pick up and join an organization or fly to Turkey to help in a refugee camp. But there are ways that we can help, even if they seem small. We can donate to organizations working tirelessly to care for and find homes for displaced persons. We can connect with refugees in our community to help them get acclimated and make connections. I haven't looked at the numbers for the whole country, but let me take a moment to talk about my hometown, Wichita, Kansas. I have met and worked with a number of displaced people over the years. Over the last 10 years, Wichita has housed refugees from many places: Iraq, Iran, Democratic Republic of Congo, Sudan, Ethiopia, Somalia, Guatemala, Honduras, and many more. Thousands of people have come to Wichita as refugees and found a home. They are a part of our community and continue to help our city thrive. Sometimes they're met with opposition. That opposition can come in the form of racism or fear from community members, but it can also come from political action. A few years ago, our governor made a promise to reduce the amount of refugees coming into the state, and he effectively cut the number in half. Since then, we have a new governor, and those numbers have started to go back up. But not everyone wants to make room for refugees. That's another way we can help. Work to elect people into office that support our viewpoints. I'm intentionally a little ambiguous on this because there's not a good answer. I think the United States is big enough and stable enough that we can let people come in. But I don't know how many. I know there has to be some balance. But we need to do our research so that when we cast our ballots, whether it be for local office or the presidency, that we are putting someone in that position that demonstrates our values. My value, my core value, is to love and help as much as I can. So I vote for those that most align with that. I mentioned at the beginning of the episode that I'm going to do some more episodes here and there about refugees. Tonally, it will be different. It's not going to be just the facts, and I am passionate about people, and that passion is probably going to come through a little differently. Also, there's going to be some interviews. Those will be different. It might be a little longer than what we typically have. If this is not something you're interested in, that's okay. The next Refugee episode I do will actually be about two books, Refugee and Nowhere Boys. They are excellent juvenile fiction books that deal with the experience of being displaced from their perspectives. The next history episode I do will be about something from the space race because I just find it fascinating. Thank you for listening today. I encourage you to do your own research. Find out what ways you can help people abroad and in your community. As I said, it's too much of a burden for one person, but if we all pitch in, a lot can be accomplished. There's no quick, easy answer, but if we daily take the actions of love, we can change our world. As always, I'd love it if you could subscribe to my podcast on whatever platform you use. You can also find me on social media through Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at History Bite Size. Feel free to drop a message or comment and let me know what you think of the show. Whether you hate it or love it, I want to hear from you. Keep pursuing knowledge. And in the words of the Dalai Lama, love and compassion are necessities, not luxuries. Without them, humanity cannot survive. This has been your host,
Fish.
Thanks for joining me.